Hi everyone, and welcome back to A Mixed Bipolar Life, living with ultra rapid cycling and mixed bipolar disorder. Today's podcast is about cycling down. Unfortunately, this week I cycled down, and it's a real bummer because I was doing so well after we increased my Prozac. Now, we only increased it 1 milligram. But which of course doesn't sound like hardly anything to most people, but I am a super low dose person. I take about a quarter the amount of what maybe the average person would take. That would affect me the same way. And to give you an example of how much it affected me, I became hypomanic. I definitely was hypomanic for several days. And because I'm usually mixed, I was definitely mixed hypomanic as well. And still sort of am mixed, even though I'm depressed, and have been cycling a little bit through the depression. So for those of you, and I think that's actually most of you, unless you have bipolar disorder with mixed features, to understand what mixed means is that I have a combination of both depressive and hypomanic symptoms at once. And I know that sounds a bit strange or odd and complicated. And yes, it is complicated. It actually can be very complicated. And at least in my experiences with my depression, depression is very complicated. So to give you an example, I can maybe not have a really high mood, but I will be super talkative. Like, I definitely talked a couple of people's ears off last week, but I wasn't feeling super euphoric or overconfident all the time. I definitely was a bit overconfident at one time when I was speaking to someone. I was telling them how I wasn't being over-optimistic, that I really felt that I could accomplish a certain thing. And then the next day I cycled down and I realized that I was being quite over-optimistic. So that's the other difficulty with being hypomanic. And the same with depression, is you often don't realize that you're in one or the other mood. And I would say that this is probably the biggest concern for not only people who are bipolar, but for people that suffer from depression. If you have loved ones that suffer from depression, either if you have it, you may be depressed and not realize it, don't realize that motivation and apathy you're having is depression. And if you have a loved one, you may not realize that they're depressed. They could just seem lazy and uninterested. So speaking of apathy, one of the things that I really realized going through this hypomanic phase and then cycling down was that I didn't realize how apathetic I was before. Even when I was on the low dose of Wellbutrin, I was much more apathetic than on the low dose of Prozac. But when we raised the Prozac, even just a tiny bit, I realized that I had desire, not just motivation, but desire. And I had not experienced desire in a long time, that I forgot that I didn't realize that I didn't even have it. I'd forgotten what it was like. So motivation is different from desire, and it can seem a bit confusing, but for instance, I can be motivated to go to a party, but maybe not have the desire to be around people or the desire to really talk to people. And as I've cycled down, I've noticed this is a big problem. I being mixed again. I'm curious to other people that suffer from just depression alone, if they ever experience mixed episodes as well. I should say mixed without the hypomania, but just sort of some parts of depression and other symptoms are lacking. So going back to desire and motivation. So for instance, I had enough motivation to cook some food and to do some laundry, which I can tell you that in the past, like a low dose of Wellbutrin or obviously without an antidepressant, I don't have motivation to do anything. I had that motivation to do, I had motivation to do those things, but I didn't have desire to go out and, be around people, which I did when we just, you know, for a while there, I was hypomanic and we raised the Prozac. I actually got out to do something social, a couple of times for the first time in, a long, long time in that short span. I've probably gone out now I can add those to it, but, let's say 20 times in the last 4 years socially. Yeah. And I'm not exaggerating. I know that's really sad. So I didn't have desire to even get together with my family, feeling overwhelmed, feeling, stressed, easily stressed by things. I miss being hypomanic. Of course, I miss being hypomanic, but even when I was not fully hypomanic, I just missed having desire so much and desire to plan things and actually execute them, desire to do fun things that I can say they're fun, but having the drive to finish or even start those things right now is not there. And that makes me sad because I was so excited about plans and ideas I had for accomplishing some especially creative things, which is very common with bipolar disorder. When we have high moods, it really taps into the creative part of our brains. This podcast is one of the creative projects, but I have another podcast channel I had started, and I wanted to do vlogging, and now cycling down in the depression, I'm like, well, I know I would want to do this if I wasn't feeling depressed. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like a part of me wants to, or a part of me knows that there's a part of me that should want to do it, but the depression just holds me back. I have also realized that in the past, when I didn't want to do things like be social, that it wasn't just lack of motivation, that it was a lack of desire. It definitely was apathy. Now, the interesting thing, too, is that if I'm on a dose of SSRIs, except Prozac, that's higher than a tiny, tiny dose, like 15 milligrams or 25 milligrams of Zoloft. I can't remember if it's 15 or 25, but it's a very, very low dose. If I go any higher than that with the SSRIs, except for Prozac, because that one taps into the dopamine receptors as well, for sure. The SSRIs make me apathetic. Even some of the SNRIs, like Cymbalta, because they affect serotonin and norepinephrine, but definitely serotonin, because when that's raised past a low dose, you know, like just a standard dose, even sometimes a starting dose, I get super apathetic. So just kind of interesting there, sort of the opposite. Dopamine is definitely the neurotransmitter that affects people with bipolar disorder and can help those areas of the brain. Must be, you know, some lacking in dopamine there. And serotonin helps people that have non-bipolar disorder, depression. I'm sure that if you've listened to my other podcasts, that you'll notice that my voice is much more slow, kind of slurry. It's kind of weird. I guess maybe I'm tired. Well, I'm tired. I think that's why it's kind of slurry, but possibly just slow too, because I'm not in that, you know, chatty mood that I was before. Not that I was super chatty when I did my last podcast, but definitely wasn't talking as slow as this. And that's also a symptom of depression that you can look out for in yourself or other people. When people are super depressed, they often will talk slowly, the opposite of, you know, being hypomanic, which is the chatty Kathy, where you're kind of talking so much and so fast that the other person has a difficult time getting an ear in, getting a word in, I mean, and you not being a very good listener. So just of note, somewhat recent studies have determined that in the brain of patients with bipolar disorder, there is missing gray matter in the areas of impulse control and motivation, which makes total sense for someone that knows about or has bipolar disorder, because motivation, obviously, when you're depressed, you lack it. And impulse control can be an issue. When someone is high, they can definitely have major issues with impulse control in terms of gambling, in terms of having sex with a stranger, or just, you know, too easily. All sorts of impulse control issues. Maybe saying something you wouldn't normally say, making a phone call or writing an email, just not taking the time to think things through. I've definitely had issues with impulse control like that in my life. And then when someone's high, obviously the motivation is high as well. You're super motivated to do things, to get things done, to plan things, to go places, etc. The other thing I noticed cycling down is that comparatively, when I was happy in a high, and not necessarily a hypomanic high, even just sort of a normal happy state, I was also really fun to be around. And I'm not necessarily talking the life of the party, but I was happy. I was a happy person. I was enjoying my life. I was enjoying being with other people. And I'm pretty sure from the reaction of other people I spent time with that they enjoyed my company as well. So that's kind of bumming me out, cycling down now. But I am hopeful that I will cycle up. I always eventually cycle up somehow. I just have to push through this depression. And there's a chance that I sank into a depression for two reasons. One of the reasons is that after a month being on the Prozac, because it often takes a month for medication to kind of settle down and to even out, as my psychiatrist says, it's possible that the Prozac just settled down so much that I felt, you know, and in this depressive state where I was before. Prozac has petered out on me in the past when I've taken it. So that is one possibility. The second possibility is that I fell into a depression due to emotional trauma, which also definitely can make my symptoms worse. As I've learned in the past, emotional trauma, emotional stress is much worse often than other types of stressors. And so the stress for me was that I found out that a friend of mine had committed suicide over the holidays. And it took a while to learn this because I just waited a while thinking she was busy, why she didn't get back to me. And then I finally had to do some digging, contacting some people to figure it out. So I have been trying to grieve about this. I am grieving, but struggling through the grieving process, struggling through trying to process it. It's been very difficult because it's just so hard to understand. She seemed fine. She didn't seem that depressed. And we had talked not long before it. And I knew there were some issues that bothered her, but obviously didn't realize how depressed she was. And it's sad because I wish she had reached out and asked, or just, you know, to talk. And anyways, it's just been really, really difficult to deal with the loss. I just wanted to break it up here to quickly apologize for the noises from actually my bedspread. May have sounded a little bit like crunching potato chips, but part of that sort of repetitive noise in the background was caused by my Tourette's, which I will discuss more in another podcast. But yeah, I have Tourette's and I have tics, and so that's sort of what someone might call a nervous tic, even though it's not necessarily directly related to anxiety. It's a more like a restlessness and then tic movements that I have. Yeah, so now I'm in a place where I think I'm showering every 3 days now, which actually isn't too bad, as it's been worse in the past. But, you know, when I was in that high, I was showering every other day, and that was the first time I had showered every other day in years, and I was really excited about that, to have the energy to do that. I was wearing my nicer clothes instead of my sweats and just the, you know, old long sleeve shirt I'd put on. I did not really care about what I wore. I was wearing jewelry. I, you know, wanted to look nice. There's so many little things and so many facets to depression that can seem obvious or not obvious depending on where you are and your realization of the illness, whether you're someone that suffers from it or someone that is in the business of psychiatry or psychology counseling, or has someone that suffers from depression. I also now, when the same sort of activity that before I was enjoying, and before I'd be like, yeah, I want to do that, let's go, and I would even get there. Now I'm kind of like, I don't know. Not really feeling up to it, not really feeling like I want to do it. I am sleeping more. I didn't make my physical therapy appointment this week because it was a 4 o'clock appointment and I woke up a 3:45. And so I called in sick because technically I'm depressed. I have an illness. And I had been making them all before. And I had a meetup group that I was really looking forward to earlier. And then I was just like, ain't gonna happen. Usually if I'm feeling like I'm not really wanting to do something, I most likely will not end up doing it. Even if it's 24 hours later, I pretty much know how my depression works now. But on the positive side, I do try to stay positive, and find pleasures in the little things. Like yesterday, I saw a hummingbird eating out of my Narcissus, and I hadn't seen a hummingbird in a very long time, I guess probably for a year, or since some point in the early summer, I think before it got too hot. But I don't know, maybe hummingbirds fly when it's over 100 degrees. Maybe they don't. And the flowers in my yard, over the years I've planted a lot of bulbs. I have tulips and narcissus and freesia. That's what it was. It wasn't a narcissus. It was a freesia the hummingbird was eating out of. And daffodils, which are, of course, the family of narcissus, but all sorts of flowers just popping up, and that really makes me happy. And watching TV shows that I like to watch. And the most important thing is just kind of accepting that this is just another stage that I will go through. There will be a cycle up at some point. I have learned to take care of myself when I'm depressed, like not going to my family's for the holiday coming up, because I just felt like that was too overwhelming and just too much. And I feel so much better that I decided not to go. You know, there was a little bit of guilt there. Of course, when one's depressed, they can feel even more guilty and low self-esteem. And I am dealing with some of that. I am staying positive and knowing that things will get better. They always get better. And I only wish that my friend who committed suicide could have also found that strength in her. And at the same time, I know how difficult it is to feel suicidal, to be in that place, to not want to talk to anyone. And if you're feeling like you're making that decision, you can be pretty directed. But I'm not going there. I'm going to stay strong and persevere and get through this. So with that, my friends, I'm going to sign off. And hopefully my next podcast, I will be in a much better place. Also remember that I have a blog. I actually think I express myself better in writing, and I think you'll enjoy the blog posts. The URL is bipolarmixed.wordpress.com. So bipolar being the disease first, then mixed.wordpress.com. Hope you check it out and go to a blog down at the bottom. You can subscribe. Thanks. Lastly, I just want to first thank you guys for all your support. I so appreciate all the great reviews and comments that you've already left, and please ask that you can continue them. The reason why I do this is to help people, and when I get your feedback through your great reviews or comments and sharing, then I feel like that this is worth it, and it helps encourage me to go on and especially to keep doing this. So please, I would appreciate if you could take the time to leave me feedback. Obviously, positive feedback preferred. That would just be wonderful. And that allows me to move higher up in these podcast apps to reach more people. And that's the goal. That's what I want to do, is to help you and your loved ones. I also want to remind you that I have a blog. That's bipolarmixed.wordpress.com. So it's the disordered first, bipolar, then mixed, mixed.wordpress.com. Lastly, I have to thank my friend Jill Moran for her wonderful music in the beginning and the end. She is a composer, and she recently started out doing composing for film and podcasts and everything else you can think of. She did an original score for me. She can do music for you, and she is very reasonable and moving up quickly. You can reach her on Twitter at jillmimo.com. That's J as in Jill, I-L-L, M as in Mary, I as in India, M as in Mary, O, Jill at JillMimo on Twitter.com. Okay, thanks guys. God bless you. I wish you well. Hang in there, and I will see you next, or talk to you next time.